You're listening to the Foul Ball Area podcast with Matthew Atkins, now available on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and Apple Podcasts. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Foul Ball Area podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Trey Lyle is joining us from Kansas, as always. He is the unofficial, official co-host of the podcast. Real quick, before we get into our topics today, I want to take a second to address current events in this country and around the world. And I just want to say that Foul Ball Area stands united with those fighting against racial injustice and Black Lives Matter. We are in full support of that movement.
What I would say is that the problem in this country did not begin with George Floyd. It continued with George Floyd, and how tragic it is. It just highlights the systematic racism that hasn't affected myself or you or our guest today, David, which you would agree with, is we all grew up white, plain and simple, and we won't fully understand what being Black in America truly means. I think the best thing we can do is say we're going to be committed to educating ourselves to our best of our abilities of what it's like or what people have gone through, because there's certain fears that we've never had to go through being Black or even in colored in this country. So just knowing we want to be here with you, we stand with you, we understand that Black lives matter. And it's very important to us to get that message out there, because the time for racial injustice should be done. It should have been over with long before the tragic death of George Floyd, and prayers to him and his family during these times. And anyone out there, hope during this, the peaceful protesters and everyone who is part of this movement, stay safe in what you're doing. I commend what you're doing. So Black Lives Matter, and I think that's the best way to kind of say it is right now, is that we will maybe never fully understand, but we can do our best to educate ourselves and stand with you during these times.
Yeah, I think that was great, Trey. It is definitely a very difficult situation. It's tough to understand. It's tough to have perspective on it. But if anyone out there, anyone listening, has a different perspective or other thoughts, reach out to me. I want to know what you're thinking, and I'd like to have a civil discussion with you and try to talk through this, because we need unity more now than ever in our country. So that's where we stand.
Yeah, same for me. Yeah, what I said kind of comes off the wrong way, and I'm trying with the best positive message. I would love to hear kind of your point of view of things and how I can better shape my words and my actions to benefit equality.
So with that said, we're going to move into our topics for the day. I feel like our past couple of podcasts have been a little, you know, kind of Debbie Downers. We've been talking about some tough subjects, like whether or not there's going to be a baseball season.
Which we'll get to.
We will get to that. Whether or not players should be paid fairly. It's been a lot of tough topics. So today, let's try to keep it a little more upbeat, a little happier. And to help us do that, we're bringing in a friend of the podcast, David Cunningham, one of our former classmates at Virginia Tech.
Youngblood DC.
The voice of the Peninsula Pilots of the Coastal Plain League. That still is your title, right? They're still planning on playing?
Yeah, as of now, they're still planning on playing. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I agree. I stand with both of you guys with your statements. The Pilots are still planning on playing. The Coastal Plain League still planning on starting on July 1st. There was an article written by our pal Normwood in the Daily Press Virginian Pilot a week or maybe over 2 weeks ago that he sat down with the owner and the head coach of the Pilots and talked to them about, you know, what their season's going to look like. And long story short, they're planning on playing no matter what, whether it is without fans or whether it is with fans. I don't know if you guys saw Ralph Northam announced that, especially in our area, that that they would be going into phase two starting at the end of this week. So that'll be interesting as we move forward. We get closer to that time period where people can start to go out and do more. So I think that's positive. But yeah, I'm still gearing towards a baseball season. I'm excited. you know, I'm probably going to be a little rusty those first few times, but because I haven't done, you know, any play-by-play or anything in a couple weeks, in a couple months, actually. But I'm excited, and yeah, hopefully it gives you guys something to follow along with.
David, really happy that you get this opportunity. I remember meeting you freshman year, and I was like, oh, this kid's pretty cool. So first, I want to say how happy and I'm proud of you. But give me a sense of what the, like, as someone who probably, I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, Middle Virginia, I really didn't know the Coastal Plains League as probably as well as I should have. What is kind of the overview of the league in general?
Yeah, I think it's a really solid league. Matt, you know, Matt and both know, you know, how great the league is, and it's not that top tier league. It's not, it might not be the Northwoods League or the Cape Cod League, but it's definitely there. There is quality baseball. And as somebody who I'm from Newport News, and I grew up going to Pilots games in Hampton, you know, I know how quality of a league it is. And there are players I've seen, you know, across the Coastal Plain League that are coming from different Division I schools. I think the coolest thing is it's kind of like college baseball recruiting. And I know it is in all these leagues, but it's, you make connections with these college baseball coaches like you would in high school, and you get two or three guys from a school to come to your specific team, or at least to come to your league. So I know there's one or two NC State players that are going to be playing for the Pilots, but it's really, really quality baseball. And I'm excited because I know it's going to be a great opportunity for me. I know it's going to be a great opportunity for those baseball players. Maybe this summer we get higher quality talent because of what's happening. I know you guys have talked about in the minor leagues, a lot of players missed out on a spring season, and they want to get as many reps as possible. So when we go and play, who knows how many games in just a little bit over a month, from the beginning of July to, you know, through the first week of August, we might play 40 or 50 games in that time span. So that's a lot of games and a lot of days, and you know, it's important for player safety and player health, but I think in general, you know, we're going to get some really, really good players that we might not usually get.
David, so you kind of touched on it. This is like your local team. So this is like for me, and this is, I guess, a different level. If I was the play-by-play guy for the Richmond Flying Squirrels, the team I kind of like in my area grew up with, how, what sense of emotion does that bring out of you that you kind of get this opportunity to do the team you're very familiar with, and you kind of know how important this team is to your hometown. And really that's what the beauty of these college summer leagues are to these smaller towns is that it provides a lot of opportunity for local kids to get this kind of opportunity like you are.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think it brings out the best of these communities. I know, especially not in Virginia, maybe not with the Pilots, but I know across the country. I talked with Evan Hughes, our pal up in Minnesota, about how much these teams mean to the towns in Minnesota. And a lot of these towns, I don't want to say live or die, but they get a lot of their revenue and a lot of what happens in their town is generated by how well these teams are doing. And in coming back to Newport News and being able to, you know, go broadcast and be the voice of a team that's 10-15 minutes away from my house, it's really cool because I know I grew up with having, you know, my best friend's brother play for the team, and knowing some of the players and getting to interact with the players at a young age and knowing how much it means for them to be supported by this community. And like you said, it really is this really cool opportunity for all these college summer league players, but it also means so much to the community. You know, you have all these host families that are basically having all these players from across the country stay with them for the entire summer. And in this case, it would be, you know, a little bit over a month, but you create bonds and it's these same families that are hosting players every single year. And I know it means so much to these communities. And I'm happy because, when I announced that I was going to be the voice of the Pilots this summer, I tried to put it in perspective as, you know, I'm going to have a broadcast opportunity with what is essentially my hometown team which is, you know, 15 minutes from my driveway, my backyard, where I grew up, you know, jokingly calling basketball games or football games by myself. And I think that's a really cool opportunity that I have. And, you know, I just hope I can make the most of it and that we do indeed have a season.
Yeah, it is really cool. That's kind of how I felt last summer as the broadcaster for the Harrisonburg Turks. I grew up going to their games all the time and then getting to call their games for a summer. It was fun. It was a great experience and I loved it. I got to tell you, I'm a little jealous of you because you said, I mean, it's a shortened season and you're still going to play around 40 to 50 games.
I assume we're playing somewhere between, I have not heard how many games we're playing. I don't even know who's on my roster. I've just been keeping up with the Pilots haven't officially announced anything, but I know other teams around the league have, and they're different schools like colleges that have said, okay, you know, these players are going to play in the Coastal Plain League. And so that's how I've been able to keep up with it. But I don't know how many players we're going to have. I assume we're going to have around 30 games, maybe 40. I don't know exactly, but that would be, you know, considering we were going to have about 65, 70, I could see us having around like 30 to 35 games. 40 maybe is a little bit too much. I don't know exactly. So don't quote me on that, but I know there's going to be a lot of games. So I know I'm going to be very tired some nights, but I know it's all going to be worth it in the end because it's a lot of, as you know, and Trey knows, a lot of really invaluable experience.
Yeah. I mean, 42 games is what the Valley League plays in a normal season. So yeah, that's why I'm saying I'm a little jealous if you get to play that many in a shortened season. Are you planning on traveling with the team to broadcast away games also?
Yeah, so for home games, I will be I will have a color guy who is basically been a longtime color guy. So it'd be Mike Burnup, if you will, who will be with me for all of the home games, sitting with me in the booth, and that'll be broadcast over Facebook Live. So it won't be on the radio; it'll be Facebook Live, For the away games, it'll be the same kind of setup, except it's just going to be me. And I think they were trying to work out the kinks to get me somebody I know to travel on the road with me. But yeah, I will be traveling on the road with the team, which I'm excited about. That's going to be really cool. You know, after talking with Evan about it, you know, Evan's been in the Northwoods League for 2 years now. This will be a third year he's been up there. And he's just told me about how cool it is to travel and interact with these guys off the field, as well as, you know, being able to call their fantastic moments on the field. I know you create these really, really cool bonds with the fans, first of all, but also the players and coaches in the organization. So I'm excited to go travel. You know, we traveled down to South Carolina once or twice, I think. And I don't know how they haven't really revised the schedule, I don't think, yet. They, you know, and the league was supposed to start a couple of days ago, but I'm excited, man. It's going to be fun.
Think you come to Kansas?
I've never been to Kansas, but is there anything out there?
Depends on where you are in Kansas. I'll say that. In Hiawatha, no, there's nothing. Very small farm town, but still appreciative of the job out here. Probably the most notable, I was doing a quick research, probably the most notable former Pilot, I should say, is Ryan Zimmerman, who just won a World Series with the Washington Nationals. But also Chad Pinder, who is a former Hokie, plays for the Oakland Athletics, also played for the Pilots. So this is a team that maybe hasn't been the top tier of talents. I know Evan liked to brag about having two all-star starters on the rocks in St. Cloud. But there's been some talent that's gone through the Pilots program as well.
Yeah, it really has, and it's cool to take a look at. You know, I forget when the last time they won the CPO was, but you know, there are a numerous amount of players that have come through, and it really brings the community together because you've got on the other side of the water the Norfolk Tides, who are part of the Orioles, I believe.
Yeah.
We're in on the peninsula where you've got on one side of the water, you've got a couple summer league and professional soccer teams. You've got Old Dominion. Then on this side of the water, you got Hampton, Christopher Newport, and William & Mary. And then you tie in, you know, the few summer league baseball teams. So you've got, well, and so you got the Tides on one side, and you've got the Pilots on the other side. It's a community that's based around sports, and I'm really excited. And like you said, it's pulled a lot of different people and players. I mean, Chad Pinder, he's from Pocosin, which is about 10 minutes away and right outside Newport News and Hampton. So it pulls together a lot of really, really good players. I'm excited because you know, I don't know who all is going to be playing in it, but I'm ready to tell their story.
That's really cool. I didn't know that Chad Pinder had played there, and obviously he's one of the greats to come out of Virginia Tech, so that's pretty cool.
That might be the first time, I just want to interrupt here, that I might have stumped Matt in the history of the foul ball area, I just want to say. And it I just did be. A quick Google search before the show. So let's just soak in that moment for a minute.
Good job. I hope you feel good about that. David, which city in the CPL are you most looking forward to visiting during the summer?
So I wish, I don't know. There a lot, the cooler cities sound like they're on the other side of the other side of the league. I know one of the teams, which the Martinsville Mustangs, which of course Nathan LaPree was the voice of, and Andy Losey will be the voice of this year. I think Martinsville will be cool. Hopefully I can go by the racetrack. I think that'd be fun. But I don't know. It's the Savannah Bananas, I believe, is, I mean, that just sounds like a cool name. Like I see them on social media. They're very active. Same with the Macon Bacon. Like both of those seem like really cool places. Like I just want to go visit. I don't know. I think it's going to be
that's
some really
Savannah,
fun.
Savannah, Georgia, right?
Yeah, Savannah, Georgia.
All right. Savannah,
so, Georgia. So, you know, those teams are both on the other side of the league. So I don't think we'll play them unless we see them in the playoffs, I believe. But I know, I mean, Florence, South Carolina, I do believe they're in our division and we have a couple games down there. So I'm excited. I think it'll be cool to travel and just see all these little towns that I've never been to before, because obviously I've been to Richmond, you know, and there is a team around Colonial Heights, but going to different tiny towns in Georgia and North Carolina, I think is going to be really cool.
Yeah, I know the Savannah Bananas because, like you said, they are really active on social media, and I think they're really known for the name. And then the Macon Bacon came along a few years after them.
Great team name.
Another name that's food-related and rhymes with the town name. I love it.
Yeah.
I respect those team names a lot, you know, and bacon, you know. I wouldn't pass a piece of bacon up, so I respect the team mascot.
Trey, we need to make, like, a shirt that says I wouldn't pass a piece of bacon up or something like that.
You've got, yeah, some, we definitely good need to work on our merch
from our time on the podcast.
We definitely do.
So David, let's shift gears a little bit, talk about what's going on in Blacksburg. Obviously you're not there right now because, well, semester would be over anyway under normal circumstances, but new School of Communication was just announced a few weeks ago, so that's some pretty big news. I don't know exactly what that means. It's somewhere between a department and a college. So do you know a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, I think I don't know how familiar you guys are with, you know, different schools of journalism and communication around the country, but I know the one that Bill Roth has always preached is the Newhouse School. A lot of people know what the Newhouse School is because it's Syracuse. You've got the Medill School at Northwestern. You got the Merrill School of Journalism at Maryland. So there are a lot of cool
Cronkite Institute at Arizona State.
Good job, Trey. So you've got a lot of different schools, and I think this is a big step forward. And it's weird to think about it because when I came in as a freshman in August of 2017. This was a year after Bill Roth came back, and I don't want to make you guys feel old, but this was a year after Bill Roth came back, and the program wasn't really anything. I mean, it was a concentration. It was a minor. And then in February 2019, you know, 33 or 4 kind of started to get together. And now, I mean, first of all, we went to the ACC men's and women's basketball tournament in March, which I thought was amazing. It was a really, really cool experience. But to be able to see how much that's changed in a year is huge. And then we talked with Bill, and Bill actually told us, you know, as soon as we found out that, you know, it became a school, you know, I kind of asked Bill, I was like, what is it going to be like? And he was like, well, it means that we can kind of promote ourselves more, as we're more than a department. You know, we're not necessarily a college yet, but, you know, if somebody wants to donate a ton of money and put their name on, you know, Atkins School of Communication and Digital Media, or Lyle School of Communication and Digital Media.
I'll never have that much money.
I mean, it might be misspelled because it's Trey, but like,
it's four letters.
but I think it gives us a bigger platform. It shows that we are advancing. It shows that, you know, we are ready to buckle down and compete with the other top journalism institutes in the country. You know, there are so many great journalism institutes, and I've tried to connect with students from all of them, but I think Tech's getting there. You know, we've been recruiting, me specifically, I've been recruiting, trying to recruit writers. You know, we know Bill has recruited Andrew Allegretta. They've been recruiting broadcasters since the day they brought Evan Hughes on campus. And Evan's going to hate me for saying that because he didn't like me calling him a recruit. But I spoke with, this was in April, I spoke with a guy named Chris Hirons, who's a student at Syracuse. He's from Northern Virginia. He's from Stafford. And he said, you know, I'm interested in coming to Tech because it's a better fit for me, but what do you guys have to offer? And I pitched him, and this week, earlier this week, he texted Bill and Evan and I and told us that he was committed to Tech and that he was going to come to Tech in the fall. So we're picking up these guys. We've got three incoming transfers. Chris is one of them. So, you know, it's exciting because we've got a bigger platform to promote ourselves. And I know, Matt, as a former writer yourself, I thought it was really important when I came to Bill and Evan with an idea for the website in December. I said, I want to be able to have a platform for everybody, not just broadcasters, not just podcasters. I want to be able to show off everybody's stuff, you know, especially writers, because as one of the few writers in that group, I felt like I was outnumbered, and I just wanted a place where if I wanted to write about something that wasn't specifically Tech athletics, can I do that here? And Bill ran with it. And I think that's one of the great things about our program is it is what you make it. And Bill Roth always says that, but it really is. And, you know, the school of now it's a school of communication instead of just a department of communication. It shows how much we've grown. And I'm afraid, you know, I'm going to look back in like 5 years and it's going to be a college, and I'm not even going to recognize it anymore.
Yeah. I remember when Bill kind of told us this idea of, hey, we're going to be a school one day. And I remember I was like, oh, okay, got it. And I also, being a part of the HUG Leader program, which is the freshman mentor program for the communications department with Dr. Buddy Howe, shout out to him as well. He talked about this idea of eventually we're going to have MJ. And I guess this is kind of the school idea. It kind of separates, because if you think about it, communication was one arcing thing. So everyone, like a PR major, was a comm, which is kind of like a completely different kind of avenue than a journalism major, even though they're both communication, like, but now it's kind of its own division. Like journalism will have its own kind of thing where it can grow. PR will have its own thing it can grow. And then like general communication studies will have its own thing to grow. So it really highlights not just the journalism program, which is where we came up, but a great PR program that Virginia Tech's trying to develop. And then a great communication studies program we like to develop, because as a whole, this kind of school is going to do a lot for Virginia Tech in those terms as well. And I'm so proud of like you and Evan. Like I remember meeting you freshman year, and like I heard about Evan Hughes, and I know he's going to hate how we talk about this, when I was a senior in high school and he was a sophomore, and I'm told he started his own radio station to call football games for Patrick Henry at the time. And I remember just sitting there, I'm like, this kid's crazy. And to see what he's done and see what you did, David, and I'm just so happy for, and I think Matt's going to echo this, like so happy for this program being like, we can always say we're the first kind of graduates of this new program, but it's like, it's already completely different. Like when 3304 Sports started, which was our last semester, and really it didn't get going till we had like 3 months left in school. We really kind of were only able to lay like a foundation for a program that's really just building a skyscraper in Blacksburg, Virginia. And we're so happy. I'm personally, and I know Matt is, so happy to see you guys thriving the way you are. And the good news is, if an alum says they're jealous of what y'all are doing, it's a good thing, because I'm very, very jealous of what you're doing.
I thought Matt, you said Matt was going to echo it. So
yeah, I mean, I am jealous of what you guys are doing. Also, like, as soon as we graduate, you guys get a brand new studio in Moss.
Yeah,
I mean,
that pissed me off.
The studio that we had was great. The studio we had was great. It was
new.
But you guys got a brand new one, and I mean, the program is just taking off. You guys are doing really great things. And then Evan Hughes, who we've talked about a couple times already today, he placed second for the Jim Nance Award. I mean, that is huge for the program.
Yeah, no, Evan, oh man. So it's funny, and Bill, I actually got word from Bill, and Bill told Damien, and Damien Salas told myself, and I found out this was about a week and a half before, I think, or a week and a half before the award was coming out, that that Evan was placing in the top six. Like, I knew the entire time. And so what Damien and I did was we gathered together. We basically thought about how can we make this like Evan's best day ever. And what we did was, I had the idea after talking with Evan, because Evan was so, I don't want to call it insecure, but he was scared. He didn't believe in himself that he was going to finish, you know, top 15 even.
Evan is one of the most talented yet humble dudes you'll ever meet.
Yeah. Damien and I get Evan's mom's number, and Damien calls Evan's mom and basically tells her the entire story. This is what's happening. You got to make him sit in front of the computer screen the entire time, because you can't let him miss his name being called. But I got together with Liam Schmidt, who made that awesome graphic for 3304. And then I got together with Shelton, and I told Shelton to make that meme. I don't know if you guys saw that Diablo fan account meme. But basically, we just tried to make it the best day for Evan. But that is a huge thing for 3304. I mean, you guys know how much the Jim Nance Award means. That he placed higher than Bailey Engel, who was the highest tech student to ever place, and he placed 13th. And Evan told me before that, I just wanted to be higher than Bailey. And he finished second, which was higher than what Andrew Allegretta finished at Syracuse. Andrew finished third. So it really shows. I think our program was already on the map, but this was just like a staple. And I know Evan's really proud of it, and Evan's really represented our program well, but this is a big time thing. I mean, Bill said he got like, you know, 20, 30 emails and follows and texts afterwards, just people saying like, I'm interested in the program, how can I find out more? And like, this is what we need to keep doing to keep this program going on a roll.
Yeah, that's great. That's definitely really good for the program. It's really going to help get the word out there, and should help, you know, just like winning and sports helps with recruiting, this should help with recruiting prospective students that want to come into this program and study journalism and get this great degree that is now available to Virginia Tech students.
Yeah, no, that was what I talked about, pitching Chris from Syracuse. That was one of the big things, is how do I pitch it? And when I pitched him was, you can come in, you can write immediately, do whatever you want immediately for 3304, where you don't have to sit back where you might at Syracuse. You might not have to sit back at the Daily Orange, and there's nothing against them. But you have to wait in line. You know, you don't get to go be the sports editor right away. You know, here, I told Chris, I said, you come, and when we go back to school, hopefully if we go back to school in the fall, you'll be able to cover Virginia Tech football if you want. You know, no questions asked. You tell me what you want to do and you can cover it. You know, you want to go make a podcast, you do it. You know, we have the tools, and we're putting that to use. And I think that's one of the biggest things we can pitch, is if you want to get involved, you come to Virginia Tech and you can get involved right now. And you have somebody like Bill who can look over your shoulder and guide you. And you guys know how influential Bill can be. I mean, that's, like I said, one of the main reasons why I went to Tech was because Bill. And just, I think the fact that we can pitch and say, come now and you can have an immediate impact. You can learn immediately. You can go cover immediately for Virginia Tech football and men's basketball in the ACC. You know, if you want to go work with Hokie Vision and the ACC network, you have that opportunity. There's so many different resources and skills, and it's a great place to get an education too. I mean, you guys are, can attest to that.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of weird the first day. You have class with Bill Roth and you like close your eyes for a second, you hear the voice and you're like, I heard this as a child listening to Tech games. And then it takes you a minute and you realize, like, I think what Virginia Tech, President Sands all the way down to Dr. Denton made the perfect choice of picking Bill Roth because of his expertise both as a play-by-play, but being in Syracuse, which is, I mean, is the creme de la creme of journalism schools. Honestly, if you look at any top broadcaster in the country, half of them have come from Syracuse. So I think the structure is there and the leadership is there. And then you got two great kids. And I hate that David's going to hate this, but with David and Evan kind of being the flagship for the last couple of years, even when I was there as a senior, kind of, I think the recognition of Bill to put you two there was good because you two, even as sophomores, kind of, he realized, like, if I put a senior here, kind of, because it was Jordan, Hutchison, and then kind of Henry, and then, like, there was a group of us who are kind of still in the infant stage of that program where we contribute as much as we can, but we weren't going to be there long enough for the foundation to fully be in place. And I think Evan and you, as really, I want to say the building blocks or kind of put the foundation completely in and to build this beautiful program for tons of kids across the country. We're going to flock to this great institution. And so David, as an alum of that program, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. You're doing great things for 3304 Sports and the comm department to make us look really good down the line saying, hey, yeah, we graduated from Virginia Tech with a degree in sports journalism.
Yeah.
And I can just say, I got the first degree from this great program. Look how great it is when it was, yeah, you know, like four classes.
It was a few more than that. But yeah. Yeah. I mean,
six.
You guys really are doing great things. And I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. Like you said, you're probably going to graduate and then look back and it'll be completely different. It's just going to continue to grow.
It's scary, but I appreciate how much you guys put into the program. You know, Matt, I mean, we had people like you two, and then we had guys like Brady, who is a sports director at WUVIT before you, Matt, and then before me. And Brady was, who is one of the nicest guys I've ever met, really helped me out my freshman year. There were so many people when I came in as a freshman that were, I guess, in my shoes now, like Jordan Hutchinson, Henry Scott, that basically accepted me. You know, even graduates like Bailey Engel, who accepted us and said, this is, and gave advice and said, this is how you can make the program what it is. And we've tried to take that advice and turn it into, you know, what it is today. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us on this week's podcast. Always great talking to you. I hope that the Coastal Plain League season will start on time on July 1st. I hope you have a great season.
I hope so, man. Thanks. And hopefully I'm not too rusty, assuming we do get to play some baseball, but I appreciate you guys having me on. And it's always great talking to you guys.
Youngblood DC, you're the man. All right. I can't wait to listen to a couple of your games this season. Glad they're on Facebook Live so I can see them all the way out here in Kansas.
Of course. I'd figure out a way, no matter what, to make it so you can watch them, even if they weren't on.
All I know is I get to comment on it, and I just can't wait for that.
I'm gonna be sitting there in the middle of a broadcast answering Trey Lyles' questions on the air.
Thanks again to David Cunningham for coming on the podcast. Always great to catch up with him, and I hope that he does have a great season with the Peninsula Pilots. Make sure you all follow him, follow the Pilots, and follow along with the Coastal Plain League season, because there's not too much baseball going to be happening this summer, so you got to follow along with what you can. So yeah. So shifting gears a little bit, we're going to talk about Major League Baseball and their newest plan for the 2020 season. And Trey, I think you have a little more on that.
Yeah. So Jeff Passan and Tim Kurkjian broke the news yesterday that Major League Baseball is basically going to go for a new proposal, a shorter season at the full prorated rate, so they could save a little bit money. So the biggest argument between the players and the owners, obviously, was the decision over the prorated salary for the less games this season. The players want their full prorated salary. The owners do not. Original proposal was even more of a reduction when they went to 82 games. So at this point, what happened was the owners are proposing a 50-game season at the full prorated rate. So I think I was looking at the numbers. Mike Trout goes from, I think it was like a let. He wouldn't lose a lot. Like he would, it would be like, I think around 11 million, but a guy like Shohei Ohtani, who's making 700K, would make only 300K this season. So that's a big difference when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, especially for a guy who doesn't typically is new to America, like Ohtani is, because he's only been, you know, for a year basically at this point. So I think this is a big step, because I think if someone asked me Saturday or Sunday, I thought baseball wasn't going to happen, but pretty interesting. If you watched Scott Van Pelt last night, Jeff Passan was on. He said, do a little quick math, 114, between 114, which was the player's proposal, and 50. What's in the middle? 82. So I think we're getting closer and closer. My estimate is, and my guess is, I think we're going to – the players need to budge somewhere, but I think we're going to get about 82 games, and I think it's going to be as close as it can to be that full prorated salary.
Yeah, I think it's good that the owners were willing to go back to the prorated salary, but a 50-game season would be a little short, especially if they're starting around the beginning of July. That would be a pretty short season. So I would be in favor of them still trying to get towards that middle ground, that 82-game season, somewhere around there, and keep the prorated salary. I mean, obviously, that's what the players want. If they could do that, that would be great, but it is positive. It makes you optimistic that we're going to get some baseball, some Major League Baseball this summer. It looks like they're getting closer to a deal. It looks like they're willing to compromise. So I don't think that this proposal is going to be the one they agree on. I think there will still be some negotiations and changes, but it definitely is looking more and more positive.
And I think a factor that's playing in this, it just seems like the NHL and the MLB, or excuse me, the NBA, are closer to having it. They actually have proposals on the table that are basically been agreed upon, a 24-game playoff for the NHL, which has been agreed on. They're still ironing out some details. And then you have the NBA, which has the best player-to-commissioner relationship. If you look at the relationship between NBA Players Association and Adam Silver, highly recommend Brian Windhorst actually wrote an article about that relationship between him and Chris Paul, who's the president. And I think for any sports fan, especially during this time of intense labor negotiation, reading that and seeing like how a good relationship kind of can happen between a commissioner and its players organization that's healthy for the ownership, which kind of what Adam Silver is, it's going to help in this time. Is because if the NHL and the NBA come back and they're going to be playing in the summer, especially when it's the playoffs, that's predominantly going to be it. It's going to hurt Major League Baseball if they don't have games on. So I think we're on the right side of things. I think we still have maybe a little bit of ways to go, but we're definitely closer to the end than a lot closer than I thought we would be come last week.
Yeah, I think you're right in that they're realizing these other leagues are getting closer to playing and they can't afford to miss out on the opportunity. They can't, you know, sit by and watch the NBA and the NHL return to play while they continue to argue over salary negotiations. That would be really terrible for baseball. And I mean, I'm right with you. I really didn't think that we were going to have a 2020 season just a few days ago. I thought that they were never going to be able to come to an agreement. I thought that the owners were being too greedy. The players weren't going to budge at all. And so it really does make me optimistic now that we will have some kind of Major League Baseball season, hopefully in early July, which would be just a month from now.
Yeah, honestly, when they brought this up, July 4th being the start of the baseball season, it just seems perfect. It really does. Like, America, and I know, like, we talked about the beginning of the show, like, what's going on in America right now is very dark and kind of, it's not looking optimistic the way America is right now, and when we understand that, but the idea of having baseball on July 4th just works, and the start of it then, I think it would be a great kind of reset button for our country to have that kind of feel come the July 4th.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be fantastic, having the start of Major League Baseball season on the 4th of July, all that kind of summer celebration all together. That would be great. That's exactly what we need right now. Well, you know what? I think we just did a pretty positive episode of the podcast. After weeks of talking about these salary negotiations and how MLB has failed to market its superstars, we had a pretty positive episode today.
I feel good about us. So back to negative next week.
Yep. Sounds good. You got any big weekend plans?
Nope.
All right.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to I'm going to the Chesapeake Bay, you know, where your grandparents is your grandparents near where their house is. Yeah, Mariah's she calls it River House, even though it's technically on the bay.
It's on the bay.
She calls it a river house. I don't know why.
Well, you have fun. I'm very jealous that you get to go there, because typically Memorial Day weekend we would go, and all my family went, and I wasn't able to go because I'm here. But so you have fun, my friend. It's always good to talk with you. Thanks so much, Youngblood DC, for joining us today.
Yep, and thank you, Trey, for joining me as always. Another great episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.